even in those moments that we don't think that it's a good moment, he's still good. Even though we don't understand him, he's still good. And even when we're upset with him because it didn't go our way, he is still good. Today we're going to talk about something. It's called a lot of us, everybody in this room has felt this way at some point. You feel like, you know, I got a raw deal. You feel like, God, I got a raw deal. This ain't fair, right? You know, the dictionary says a raw deal is a situation that someone receives when they receive harsh or unfair treatment. And I know everybody in here, I don't care how much you love God, at some point you feel like, God, this ain't fair. I mean, what's going on in my life right now is just not fair. You know, last week we talked about impact. And we talked about impact and about how we were supposed to make an impact. We were the salt and light of the world. And so how we were supposed to be salt to the world, we were supposed to make people, salt makes people thirsty. We're supposed to make people thirsty. It protects. We're supposed to use God's word for protection and preservation. And it adds flavor to food. And so we're supposed to add salt flavor to our conversations with God in it to bring flavor to the conversations. And so salt and light, and we're supposed to be the light of the world. And we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, not salt in the salt shaker. We're supposed to be out into the world, right? And we're not supposed to allow this world to get in us. Because when this world gets in us, then what happens is the moisture of the world gets in us. And you know what happens whenever moisture gets in a salt shaker? It clumps all up. And we don't want that to happen where we can't come out of the shaker. And so then also light of the world. And so we're supposed to be the light. And we're supposed to shine bright. And you know, you have a candle that's a light. And if you put a lid on top of it, some kind of something on top of it, a bushel or something, then what it's going to do is it's going to put out the light. And we don't want our light to be put out. And that's what the enemy wants to do, is snuff us out. And so we got to be the light and salt of the world. So, but when it comes to the raw deal, you felt like, you know what? I have a raw deal. I have been doing everything right, but everything's going wrong. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying, but it seems like things are just not going good. You know, and you feel like Job. You know, Job was a righteous. The scripture says in Job 1 that Job was a righteous and upright man. He was upright. He was righteous. He was a good, great person. And all this stuff happened to him, and he didn't understand what was happening. But he didn't see the end game that he had, you know, a bigger house, twice as many, twice as much flock, twice as many, everything he had, he doubled it. Everything was doubled at the end. You know, he didn't see that. All he saw is, I'm getting a raw deal. I'm sitting here in ashes and balls and all and pus coming out my body everywhere. I didn't do nothing wrong. I don't understand what the deal is. Asaph thought that he got a rotten deal. Asaph was a wonderful person, and I love Asaph in the Bible. He's in Psalms. He's in Psalms, and he was a Levite. He was one of David's lead musicians and choir directors, and he was like a worship leader. He was a poet, and he was a seer. A seer is like a prophet. And so if you read, there's 12 of them that he wrote, that Asaph wrote, and it was like Psalms 50 and Psalms 73 through 83, I think. And they're beautiful. And if you watch, again, I'm going to promote the Chosen again. If you watch The Chosen, you saw in episode, the last episode of season 3, where Asaph went to David and says, I got a psalm, and I'm going to have my choir back me up. And they sung some harmonies, and he just read Psalms 77, I think it was, to David. And David was like, wow. And it was just beautiful. It was such a beautiful moment. I don't know, it just captivated. Go look that up. And it was such a beautiful time. But Asaph thought he had gotten a bad deal because his theology and his experience didn't match. My theology of what God is, what I know the Word of God says about me and what's supposed to happen, and my experience, my reality, is not mixing. Things are supposed to be going good, and they're not. And so what did he do? He went to God and poured out his heart. And when you get a raw deal, that's what we need to do, is pour out our heart. Let me read it to you. Psalms 73, 1 and 2 says, truly God is good to Israel, to those hearts that are pure. But as for me, I started to title this message, But As For Me. That was, I was really going between a raw deal and But As For Me. It's going good for everybody else, but as for me. You know, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping. I was almost gone. I was on the edge, God, of giving up. I was doing the right stuff, and I was about to say, you know what? Forget all this mess. I'm not going to try anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm trying to do my best, and I'm on the edge. I'm about to fall off the cliff. It's just too much, God. I'm doing the best I can, and all this bad stuff is still happening to me. And then he goes on. I love his sincerity. Psalm 73, 13 and 14, if you go down to those verses, it says, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? If I get trouble all day long, every morning brings me pain. Am I living a good moral life for nothing? Everybody else around me, they're just living glorified and got all this money, all this stuff's happening. And here it is, I am just living in pure hell right now. Did I keep my innocence for nothing? I'm trying to save myself, trying to be innocent before you, God, and all this, and everybody else is just enjoying themselves. I don't understand this. You know, he says, I get trouble all day long. Even when I wake up in the morning, there's pain there waiting for me. And I want to let you know, it is okay to call out to God and share with him your frustrations. It is okay to tell God all your animosity in your mind. It's okay to even get upset with God. Because let me tell you what, just because you say, God, I thought you were God. I thought you were a good God. I thought you were a great God. I thought you were everything. I thought you were wonderful. I thought, you know, you were going to take care of me. I thought you were my protector, God. You ain't protecting me. Look what's happening. Look at all the bad things happening in my life. Look at the atheists. I hate you, God. There is no God, they say. Who are you, God? You're an evil God. I hate you. You say you're good. You're not good. You're evil. I want you to know that all that, that God is secure enough, that doesn't move him. When you do that, God is not saying, oh, well, maybe I'm not good. They hate me. Maybe I am a little too harsh on them. Maybe I need to go back and think about a different way to handle this. Maybe I'm not as loving as I thought I was. Maybe I shouldn't have sent my son. Oh my gosh, they're hating me, they're angry, they're upset at me. No, God says, I am that I am. Us telling him all this stuff, he knows he's God. And nothing changes that. No matter what we say. Now, I do want to tell you that I've had a lot of people come to my office and share with how I let God have it. And I told God and I fussed and I cussed. I'm like, God does not matter if you pour your heart out to him in anguish and that you're even upset, but you need to always respect God. Would you say the same thing if he came down a person and the God Almighty of the universe stood before you? Now say it. Big boy. Little girl. You know what I'm saying? You know, I even had a conversation. I had one person a long time ago that got behind and just let me have it. By text, they were just going off on me. All the stuff they hated. I was mad, and I was handling this one, that, and the other. I said, "Let's meet in person." And they're like, "Well," and then it went off again. And I'm like, "When can we meet?" And then I finally got an arrangement with them, and I said, "Now tell me that again." And they're like, I'm sorry, Pastor. And it was just funny, you know, and it was a situation where this person was able to get behind a screen and text me all this stuff, but they didn't have the boldness to say it to me. So how come we're like that with God? We're able to point our finger at God, and it's okay to be mad at him. It's okay. Bible says be angry, but sin not. Don't disrespect him. That's a little side note. But anyway, so he poured out his heart. If you read through the Psalms, you'll see that Asaph had a great ability to pour out his heart, but there's always a shift, just like it is with David. David's always like, Lord, I'm on rocky road and I hate this. I'm so desperate for you. I'm lost and out and I'm undone and I'm just, oh, and then all of a sudden things change. Well, same thing happened here with Asaph. Psalm 73, 16 and 17. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. God, I'm doing this good stuff, and these people over here ain't even saved. And look, they're healthy and wealthy and fine and loving, have a good marriage, have a good home, have all this great stuff, and here I am struggling. Why, God? Why is the wicked prosper? What a difficult task it is, he said. But then it says, here's the shift. Then I went into your sanctuary. Oh, God. He went into the presence of the Lord. He got into the presence of the Lord. And then it says, and finally I understood the destiny of the wicked. They may have it fine now. You're doing good and you're thinking nothing's happening. Your reward is going to be in the end. Their reward is now. But you can have your reward now if you want it. But the end time is going to be a whole lot longer than the now. Eternity lasts forever in a place called heaven or a place called hell. And so he was saying, I finally understood. They got it good now. But see, the thing is when the devil's got you, he don't bother you much. He bothers those that he don't have and that he's after. But when you get into his presence and you get into the sanctuary of God, not necessarily just your the presence of God, the further in you go into the holies of holies, the less you take with you. Till all of a sudden, you're standing just before God. And you get to a place, you get all this stuff you're trying to take into the presence, and it just starts falling off of you till you get up there, and then all of a sudden you get to a place where you're so much into the presence of God that you almost don't even speak. You're just in awe. The valuable lesson is whenever bad things happen to us, and we're saying, God, look at all, I'm trying so hard, but all those bad things keep happening to me, that we got to understand that, you know what? Yeah, bad things are happening, trouble is happening, but I got to go to God. And that's hard sometimes, okay? But you have to do it. You have to push through and bring your troubles to God. You have to cast those cares. I cast my cares every day to God, you know, because I want to continue to be able to help people and bless people. So I take it all on, and then I just like, God, you got to handle this. You got to take this from me. You got to help me. And so we got to understand that. And the Bible is just not full of feel-good, like little devotionals that we read, that it's all little feel-good Joel Osteen little moments. There's a lot of real, there's nothing wrong with him as far as you want to be encouraged, right? But I'm just saying, but there's some real hard questions that people ask him in there that those feel-good moments don't touch. Because sometimes life just sucks and it's just horrible. And you're like, God, this is not what I signed up for. This is horrible. This is wrong. This is unfair. This is not right. And God's like, if you just come to me, I can help you with this. And I can take you through this. So don't turn away from God. Turn to God. Especially in times of anxiety and fear and stress. Go to God and let him take that from you and help you. You know, a lot of us say, I've always gone to church. I've done everything right. I've read my Bible and I've prayed. And, you know, but my brother, my sister, my friends or whatever, you know what? They don't never go to church. And they got a good home. They got a good job. They got a good marriage. They got great kids. And all of a sudden, you know, you're thinking like, I'm trying so hard and it's just not working for me. Or you say, I tried everything to do. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I don't dip or chew or date women who do. I don't do any of that, you know, but I got all these health problems and they're out there smoking and coking and doing all this kind of stuff out there. And they're living a whole happy life. Their body's good. They're in shape. They run a mile every day. You know, it frustrates us. Why should I pray? I pray and nothing happens sometimes. I serve in ministry. I have a small group, but nobody comes to the small group. We got it here. We only have it once a month, but nobody shows up. Hardly. In some cases. Hoping that, and not all the cases here, but sometimes it is. Sometimes the small group leaders are like, why is no, we got so many men in here. Why don't we have more men in our group? You know, women do good, and you know, our young adults are doing good. But you know, there's a lot of the group and journey. So a lot of times we think, God, I'm serving, God, I'm here to serve you, but why is nobody wanting to be served? Asaph said he was about to give up, he was about to quit. And this is where we all feel like, but we gotta get to the place where we feel that, and we feel that moment. You can allow your mind to go there, but you can't stay there. You got to say, but you know what, God? But you're good. You've helped me in the past. You know, we forget about other things that he's done for us in the past. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking to me, and they were telling me about how bad this and this was. And I was like, but just a couple of weeks ago, didn't you tell me that this, this, and this, and this happened? That was really good. And God helped you and healed you and touched you from this. Yeah. I was like, well, then why are you focusing on this then? We something that happens in the now, all of a sudden we forget about everything God's done. We forget about how good God is, and we're focusing on our selfish flesh moment of where we're at right now in our life. Asaph tells in Psalm 73, he finds out, you know what? I'm not looking at the whole picture. I'm looking at their lives right now. But yeah, they may have it good now, but if they don't change, they're going to end up in a place called hell one day. You know, and right now, I'm not having it that good, but I'm promised eternity. So I could probably gamble with that pretty good. I would rather the latter of the two. You got to take those thoughts captive. We got to quit being petty and wanting to quit on God every time something bad happens to us, every time we have a disagreement, every time we have an argument, every time some kind of bad things the enemy puts on us, we want to quit to God. And Scripture clearly says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I come to bring life and life more abundantly. But the first person we're to shake our fist at is God. Poor, and I say poor God, not as in he's poor, pitiful, but I'm like, I'm sad for you, God. That the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we're blaming you all the time for stuff. So we got to hit the next button. We got to keep scrolling. We got to flip the page. We got to change playlists and say, God, I'm not going to stay in this moment. I'm not going to feel this way. I refuse to. I know bad things are bad happening, and I know your righteous are never forsaken, or your seed left begging for bread, you know. And so I know that this is a momentary thing, and I'm feeling bad, and I'm seeing everybody else's stuff, but you know what? I need to focus more on me and you. And I need to go get in your presence. Because all these things that you're, when you feel that way, all they are is distractions from you getting into the presence of God. That's all they're for. He wants you to look at Peter walking on the water. He just, look at everything else. Look at all those waves and all this storm. Don't look at God. Don't look at God. Look at all this stuff. And that's what he wants you to look at. He wants you to look at all the bad things in your life and find out how horrible it is, what the enemy wants to do. And keep your focus off and keep you out of the presence of God. Because when you go into the presence of God, all of a sudden your mindset, attitude, everything switches. And you're like, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He endures forever and ever. And but one or two bad things happen in our life after a whole bunch. You can have a big, massive victory on a mountaintop. One or two things happen and you're like, oh, pitiful, poor me. But it wasn't that he just came to God. He came to God and God showed him something. God showed him something. In 17, he says, then I perceived their end. He says that God showed him the present state of the wicked and the end. So I want you to understand that wherever you're at, your raw deal that you have right now, that's not the end. The end is going to be much better than how it is right now. But you got to fight through it. You got to be willing to talk to God and give up things and do things that are right and serve God and keep pushing through the hard times and not be so selfish and not be all about me, but God is all about you. And I got to quit being selfish. Psalms 23, let's go down to verse 26 through 28. He said, my heart, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. My flesh may fail, my spirit, King James says, my flesh may fail. But my health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, here we go again. You see how a while ago it was, this is all great, but as for me, my life is horrible. Okay, now he's saying, oh, all these things are horrible, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. He switched it. He flipped the script. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter. Here, listen to this. And I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. That's how you get out of that mindset. You go out and start talking about the good things God's done, not the bad things that he's done. Sounds like a different man, don't it? But it's not a different man. It's the same man with a different attitude and a different outlook. Okay? That's what it means to be the salt and light of this world. To go out and tell the great things that God has done rather than being pepper and garlic. Right? A friend of mine had this little poem thing, and I love it. It said, because God is omnipotent, all-powerful, I don't have to do anything. I can let him control things in my life. Because he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, I don't have to be everywhere. Because he's omniscient and knows everything, I don't have to know everything. He knows everything, and I can rest in that. Because he's a comforter, I can rest in him. Because he's a redeemer, I can give this relationship to God. Because he's my father, I am his child. Because he's my shepherd, I will follow him. And I will want for nothing. And because he's El Shaddai, the Almighty God, I will worship him. So there's just a couple things here I want to tell you that you need to do. Four things that you could do during these times when you feel that way. Go to God and pour your heart out to God. And remember, he's not insecure, but show respect, right? But he's not a pin cushion and he's not a punching bag. Okay? Always understand that. And when you go to him, he wants to hear your problems. He wants to hear your situations. And even though it's not going to change his mind about who he is or what he does, we still need to respect that he is God. And number two, consider your choices carefully, because your choices have eternal consequences. And when you say, I'm going to quit on you, God, you better be understand that when you quit, at least with God, you have a chance. At least with God, he's going to take you through. When you have God on your side, you're going to make it to heaven. And you may live through this life with some troubles, trials, tribulations, but you know you can be assured that he'll be with you and never leave you nor forsake you. But if you turn your back on God, you're turning your back on the only person that can help you. Without God, you have no chance. And you could go ahead and feel that way and act like, you know what, okay, well then I'll just do it without you. Okay, go ahead, handle it. But I promise you, if you don't before God comes back, you'll be crawling back saying, God, please help me. Number three, see the bigger picture. Take a step back and broaden your horizon. Quit looking like this right here at something. And open up to, oh, okay. I see now. I see the big picture. I see the big horizon. Number four, reaffirm your relationship with him. You need to do that, not for God, but for you and for the enemy. You need to say, God, I am yours. I am always yours. I will never leave you. You know, and I will always be here with you, God. I don't care how bad things get. I'm on your side. You are my redeemer. You are my savior, God. You are my king. You are my Lord. And God, you need to say that for yourself, for your own renewing of your mind. And you also need to say it so the enemy, Satan, hears you say it. So he knows the truth. Because he heard you say, I'm ready to quit. I'm mad at you. So you need to flip the script and let him understand, look, yeah, I was mad, but he's still my God. And when we step into his presence in a sanctuary, we can look from an eternal perspective. Once you get in God's presence, he shows you things and he'll talk to you. Asaph said, I was getting my feet on my slip. I was ready to give up. I was ready to quit because of the circumstances. Circumstances are so short. Circumstances, sometimes we feel like they're long, but it may last, you know, a couple months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, even 5 years. I mean, even if it lasts 8 or 10 years, even, it seems like that's a long time, right? But in the course of an 80-year, 100-year life, that's not that bad. It's only 10% of your life. But let's take that 10% and put it against the amount of how long eternity is. And it's like a speckle. You had to experience God's presence to see differently. I was walking in, I forget where it was at. I think it was Jersey Mike's, or it was some restaurant or sandwich shop or somewhere I was at. And I walked in, and they said, can I help you? And I said, sure. And I told them what I wanted. And they were back there just tearing that stuff. I was like, oh, easy. Don't hurt my meat now, you know, just tearing it up back there. Just doing so hard. And I was like, you having a good day? They're like, yeah, well, no, not really. Somebody came in a while ago, and they were just being a bud, and just everything I did was wrong. And so I was going, so I was like, where are they at now? She's like, well, they're gone. I'm like, well, they're gone. And I'm here with a smile on my face. So why are you worrying about them? Focus right here. You're like, you know what? You're right. You know, and that's what we do. You know, we let the stuff that bothers us. We just, you know, God is trying to do new good things for us. We're so focused on this other negative thing that we won't let him do something good. And there's something new and good standing right in front of you with a big smile and peace and happiness and joy. And we're still stuck on the evil part. So here's the thing. A lot of times the problem is the way you see the problem. It's not the problem. It's the way you see the problem. You may not be able to change the circumstances, but you need to change the way you respond to the circumstances. Okay? Mike, if you could come up. Psalm 77 says it begins with huge problems and a little God. And then Asaph ends with a big God and little problems. Let's read Psalm 77. It's a lot, but it's just so beautiful. You need to really read Psalms. It really will help you, you know, understand some things and help you understand how to go through life with difficulty and how to come out of it. He said, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. Listen to me, God. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. I prayed all night long. I lifted my hands towards heaven, and my soul was not comforted. I think of God, and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I'm too distressed to even pray. I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul, and I ponder difference now. The Lord has rejected me forever. Will he ever be kind to me again? And his unfailing love, is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. And the Lord Most High has turned his hand against me. He decided again. Here he goes again. Asaph, just like us, you know, you get over one and then something else comes and we go right back to our old habits, right? So it goes back to right old habits. And then it says in 77, let's go down to verse 11 and 12. But then I recall all you have done. He's so mad. But then he started thinking back. I recall all that you have done. Oh, Lord, I remember the wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts, and I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Verse 19. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway that no one has was there. Again, what you focus on, you fuel. Whatever you gaze at has your heart. And things are bad and look hard and it looks like God's not there. But when we look back and say, you know what? I thought you weren't there then, but you always came through. You've never let me down. Sometimes they're longer than the others. Sometimes they're shorter. Sometimes they're more difficult. But you always come through, God. And when hope is rekindled, depression loses all of its power. We have to slow down and get off that path that we're going in circles, that road to nowhere. And we're out there in the wilderness just going around in circles. And God's like, when are y'all done? When are you going to be done complaining so I can let you go into the promised land? We keep missing the exit. Asaph got this revelation. And I want to read the Passion Translation. This is not a paraphrase. It's a Passion Translation. And what they try to do is they went back to the original and they looked at the heart of what the person was saying. And I love reading this along with when I'm studying in addition to in my NLT. But I love it. And I love, you know, have you ever said something like, you're like, well, I made a mistake, but I was intellectually thinking about one thing. And then, you know, the sorrows of the past came in and it really got on me. My friends did this right here. And I was and like, what are you trying to say? I was dumb and got in trouble. Right. Okay. That was a heart of what I was trying to say, right? Okay, so the Passion Translation tells you the heart of what they're trying to say. So here's what Asaph said about all that stuff he said at the beginning that I read. I was so stupid. I was senseless and ignorant, acting like a brute beast before you. Lord, yet in spite of all this, I still belong to you. You hold me with your right hand. You lead me with your secret wisdom. Secret wisdom means you ain't going to know what it is. You're not always going to get the answer, but I'm going to lead you. I got the secrets, and I know the secrets. Just trust me, okay? And follow you, and following you brings me into your brightness and your glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? You're all I want. No one on earth means so much to me as you, Lord. So many times I fall. I fall into disgrace. But when I trust in you, I have a strong and glorious presence protecting and anointing me. Let me read that part again. So many times I fail and I fall into disgrace, but when I trust in you, things change, and I have a strong and glorious presence protecting and anointing me. Forever you are all I need. Those who abandon the worship of God will perish. The false and unfaithful will be silenced, never heard from again. But I'll keep coming closer and closer to you. I'll keep coming closer and closer to you. Because Scripture says, if you draw near to God, James says, He'll draw near to you. Your name is good to me. I will keep telling the world of your awesome works, my faithful and glorious God. Is that not beautiful? I love the passion, how it just brings out the heart of what someone's trying to say. You know, and Romans 8 and 18 says, yet when we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed later. And yet we're going through it. You may be going through it. It may be horrible. It may be, seem like a raw deal. But God has secret wisdom that you don't know about. If you just trust Him, He sees the whole picture and He's trying to take you somewhere. And God will use your raw deal to change your life. He will use your raw deal to change your character. He will use your raw deal to give you a testimony and a story. Whatever holds your gaze, holds your heart. So I'm here to tell you today, whether you're online or here in this room, that yes, you're gonna go through some times that feel like it's a bad deal, it's a bad situation, it's rough and it's tough. But you have to make up in your mind to go into the presence of God, fight through it, still come to church, fight through it, still read your Bible, even if you feel like you're not getting nothing from it. Just, you cannot read and speak the Word of God and nothing happen. You may not know. You can have, oh, we're parched land. You know, we need rain. And it pours down rain. And well, nothing happened. Not yet. So you read, nothing happened. I prayed, nothing happened. Not yet. But it will. His Word promises to be true and faithful forever. So I just encourage you today. So when you're going, you feel like you have a rough deal, and you feel like you got a situation, that you go to God, get in His presence, and step back and look at the whole picture. What's happening right now? Weeping and endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yes, I'm going through this hard time, but God, long as I trust you, long as I lean on you, long as I'm doing my best to serve you, long as I don't give up, long as I don't quit, and God, I give you all my frustration. I give you my anger. I give you my pain. I give you my hurt. I give you everything. God, take it from me. I don't want it because this is causing problems in my life. It's causing problems in my walk with you. It's causing problems with my family. It's causing problems with my work. It's causing problems with me. It's causing problems between me and you. And God, I just give it all to you, and I just come into your presence. Share your heart with God. But then be respectful, but then also allow Him to share with you. Because after all, Asaph went in there and went off on God and told Him his whole heart, God still showed His love. He could have said, oh, really? Is that how you want to act? Well, then, you know what? I have secret wisdom. I'm not even going to share it with you because you're acting like a little child. No. He said, oh, you acting like that? You're all mad? Okay, well, let me tell you what. I love you, so I'm going to tell you. Listen, you got to look at the end game. Not the present game. The end game is the wicked will perish, but you're going to live on forever. What you're doing is not in vain. Trust me. God didn't get mad at him. He still poured into his heart and still talked to him. It don't make sense. Some things don't make sense. It's a secret. We don't understand why things happen. We don't understand why things happen the way they do. The hard times that we go through, the rough times that we go through, the tragic times that we go through, that just don't make sense on any level. But God, but as for me, I'm going to go to God. Would you bow your hand, close your eyes? Is there anybody here that don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior and wants to be saved? And says, I want to turn my heart to God and I want to ask for forgiveness of my sins and I want to be a Christian today. I try to ask this almost every service unless God prompts me in a different direction, but I want to ask that first. Anybody want to receive Christ today because you don't know God? Well, who would raise your hand as everybody, all heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Who would raise your hand and say, Pastor Doug, you know, I'm going through what I perceive as a raw deal right now. Will you pray that I'm able to go into the presence of God and I'm able to go in there and really trust God and quit looking at my present circumstances and see the end game rather than all the hell I'm going through right now? Anybody? Yeah, I see your hand. Yes. Hands everywhere. Amen. Well, give it to God. Give it to God. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now for those who raise their hands, God, so many of them. God, they're kind of salty at you, Lord. They feel like, Lord, they're not salt of the earth. They're salty at you, Lord. And they're saying, Lord, that They feel like things are going wrong. They're trying to do right. They're trying to live right. They're trying to do good, but things are still constantly going wrong. God, help them get into your presence and help them to turn towards you and help them to love you and look back of all the time that you've been there for them that they didn't see. And God, help them remember times that there was no reason for something to happen, but it did. And they were protected in a situation that they didn't even realize who protected them or why they were protecting them. Because you were there, Lord. Help us to come into your presence and trust you no matter what. Help us to not get in our selfish attitude and our selfish anxieties and fears and doubts and rise up and, with our pride and shake our fists at you. God, help us always to go into your presence respectfully. And when we do, you will always endue us with power. You will always overwhelm us with your love. And you will let us know that you are always there. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen and amen. We just sing just a chorus. You're worthy of it all, whatever. What you sung a while ago is fine. Just...